This is Sparta!
Hey!
Hey! Welcome, everybody. Hey, Dan. I mean, Brittany!
Hi, I'm Dan Davis.
Oh, man, I thought you were going to wear the goatee. I'm a little upset.
If I didn't have to work after this episode, I would have.
Understandable.
Pencil it in.
Understandable. Well, welcome, everybody, to yet another... another episode of Happy Hour-ish here on Exotica TV. I'm still working on these pounders of Coors Lights that I accidentally ordered from GoPuff. You know, it is. I would name off what day it is in the quarantine, but I have no fucking idea anymore. It's just every day.
Gave up keeping track.
It has been obviously, you know, a crazy 3 months. It's been an even crazier 2 weeks. It's been an even crazier week. So we're hanging on by the skin of our teeth, but we do have a few like announcements and some like housekeeping things to get out of there. So we're taking a week off.
Okay.
I'm not fucking working next week. I'm done. Like I had enough. I told all the employees their only jobs were to not work, which is, I don't think what a good boss, well, maybe depends your definition of a good boss. Does, but we're going dark next week.
It's needed. We need this time out, you know, just take a pause, take a breather, you know, and then come back and hit harder than ever.
Rejuvenated, ready to go.
Rejuvenated.
Yeah. So, you know, we've been going at this thing strong for, I think, 8 or 9, maybe 10 weeks for Exotica TV every single night. I love it. This is what could possibly go wrong. You know, so we've been going at this thing for, you know, 8, 9 weeks, whatever it's been. Multiple shows a day. I think we're nearing 100 episodes. We're over like 5 million views over the course of the time. Our Twitter following has exploded, which means that we have more dumpster fire comments to read and see.
Love those dumpster fire comments.
So all kinds of like good upward motion kind of stuff. And then yesterday they took down our Periscope account.
We don't know.
You know, that's when I said last week, everybody needs to go to exotica.tv and stay. That's, you know, where we are. That's like, that's why, because these things are, they're fickle. And
I
like that word. And so, we're down. I mean, I'm hoping that we get back up. But you know, in the meantime, like, you know, we're still on the Exotica TV Periscope and that stuff shared, and you know, we're still here. But I need a week to myself, mm-hmm. Brittany, just to
just numb your horinge.
Yes, exactly.
Numb your horinge.
And this is the part of the show where we remind Taomi that her mic is hot, but she is nowhere to be seen. So she sounds like that voice of God.
That's if anybody's going to be the voice of God, it'll be her.
Yeah, you know what?
I'd listen to her.
God, yeah, I think most people would. So how you been holding up, Britt? I'm glad. Thank you for jumping in. Dan had a previous engagement, so he wasn't able to make it with us. Obviously, you know, my heterosexual life partner has left me for the week. But, you know, I got my work wife back, so it's all's good in the hood.
I think I look better. You know, more pleasing to the eyes.
Well, I mean, I guess it really depends whose eyes you're looking through. You know, I mean,
very true. You know, very true.
There's something for everyone, Britt, including.
Well, hopefully I'll live up to Dan's level.
Big shoes.
For these happy hours.
Big shoes. So, yeah, we're rocking and rolling. We got a couple of great guests on today. We got an hour to kill. I got no place to be, you know, so what do you say?
Got a 24-pack of Corona. I'm ready to go.
So before I do bring out anybody, I do want to bring this out. So
what?
Oh my God. When we do shows, we have a lot of tend to have a lot of vodka left over, you know? And so when we do shows close to Philadelphia, that vodka somehow finds its way back to my house. So I have literally a basement of like three quarters full bottles of Grey Goose, because that's what all the parties always give us. So my wife decided to try and clear things out, and she has been soaking these bottles in pineapple for the last like month, just sitting in this giant tub that she tells me that I can't drink. And so they finally, you know, apparently by her standards, they reached a drinkable level. And I have since tried this, and I'm hoping to stay standing for an hour.
Yeah, it's good.
It's awesome. Straight pineapple. Just like cut up a couple of pineapples, throw it in like a big, you know, glass jar or whatever, dump the vodka in it, put it in the corner and let it sit. So yeah, it's
how long did you let it sit for?
Anywhere from like 2 weeks to a month. She's been dedicated to this. So on top of the guys are back. My weed smoking guys, my weed smoking buddies on the roof. All right, cool. So
look at that.
Listen, okay, we'll get into this. We're going to bring in our first guest. What do you say, Britt?
Yes. Yes, please do.
Super, super excited. I met this person, probably a couple years ago now at the show. Always consummate professional, constantly kills it. Is like the only fan crusher of the world. Vixen, exclusive contract. She's drop dead beautiful. You know, Dan is a lot better at these intros than I am, but you know,
nominated, you know, for numerous AVN awards, XBiz. She's a trailblazer in the adult biz for sure.
Yeah. So let's bring her in, Miss Ariana Marie. Hey.
Hello.
What's up?
Hi. Good. Thank you guys.
Welcome.
For all that.
Welcome so to sweet. Happy Hour ish. Oh man, listen.
Thank you.
Know,
you.
Hey,
I got my.
there you go.
Casamigos. That's the shit.
Yes.
That's it.
Okay, literally, like anytime I drink this, I don't ever wake up with a hangover, ever. And like, yeah.
I think that means I think that means you got to drink more. That's how that
no,
works.
No, I know. I drink a lot of it. Like when like a Friday night, Saturday night, I'm like, okay, I won't like mix or anything. I'll just do it like that. And like, I'll wake up the next morning. I'll be fine.
Right, just
like. Right. Like, see? I'm ready to go again.
Okay. That's what it's all about. It's,
oh, yeah.
So have you been working on your alcoholism in quarantine? Has that been one of your go-tos? Because I can personally say that I have. So it's that and not going to the gym.
A little bit, okay. but not too much.
Okay. And I can imagine that, you know, what's been really interesting with a lot of the, you know, the quarantine and all this craziness, and we get to talk to so many different folks, is the overwhelming response is like, we're busier right now than I feel like I've ever been. Is that how you're feeling?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like way busier with like custom orders and stuff like through OnlyFans and all that. Like, yeah, it's definitely like financially it's been good for me, but yeah, definitely like every day, like I normally try to take like Sundays off because it's like just like a day off.
It's the
not
holy
do
day.
Anything. Yeah. but I work on Sundays now too. So it's just, it's like good, and I'm like, I need to find a day where I can take a day off.
Yeah, no, not, and get out of your house. You know, I mean, it's
yeah.
Like, you're down in Florida, right? And
yes,
so
I am.
It's you shouldn't leave your house right now. Like,
no, I should not. I have some friends that went out last night and like they're on Instagram and they're just like out at a club, but I'm just like, what? The clubs are open, like. I know they opened up some bars, like local bars around here, but and I did go out to one, but it was like 6 feet apart, and like you couldn't sit at the bar, you had to sit like at like a high top like table
was
or whatever.
It
and they
or
were
outdoor?
Only no, it was indoor, but like the only way you could get in was like if you ordered food, so it wasn't right. Just like you could just go there and drink.
Right.
But I'm just like, my friends are out at a club right now, like you guys, I'm not hanging out with you guys.
It's well, and that's the hardest part, man, is like you're only as good as the people that you're surrounded by, you know? And so like,
yeah.
If you have one friend that wants to go out and like, you know, throw caution to the wind, it fucks everybody
up. It's crazy. Oh yeah, for sure. I just can't even.
Well, as you may or may not know, and I know you were planning on being there, we just today, about an hour and 13 minutes ago, announced that we're moving our Chicago show back yet again. First time I've ever had to move a show, let alone move a show twice. So it goes back into October. Miami now becomes the first show on the calendar. Who the hell knows what South Florida is going to look like? I mean, it's,
yeah.
I guess South Florida and Phoenix are the two places that are getting crushed right now.
I was excited to do the Chicago one because a lot of girls, you know, they always tell me like, oh yeah, Chicago's good and everything. So I was excited for this year. And then the Corona hit us.
It's crazy, man.
She's a mean bitch.
Oh, she is. And she ain't going away. Like that, you know, that's the craziness with all of this. So what cities have you been to with us?
I did New Jersey and I did Miami.
Okay.
I was just like kind of getting started. My schedule with shooting was kind of like, you know, last year and everything wasn't like, I was still shooting, but I could have time to like go and do these things. And then I was getting all excited and then just take it away.
And then the whole world just pulled the rug out from underneath everybody. Yeah. It's been pretty wild. So during your quarantine time, crushing OnlyFans, what else, what do you do outside of adult? Like what do you do to like set your mind at ease? Like, is there something that you just,
I like going for like runs, and then like, or biking, just like anything kind of like outdoors where I can just kind of just like not be on my phone or anything. Where I just
play when you're out, do people recognize you? Like when you're out within like your community?
Sometimes, not all the time. Like I get recognized here just by like people that like maybe like went to a different school than me and then like, oh, like I know her or whatever. But then like when I lived out in Vegas, I got recognized a handful of times, but not too often because I feel like when I'm not like all like dressed up and stuff, I look like a little bum. So I don't really.
Baseball cap, sweatpants.
Yeah, like nobody looks at me.
Dude, one of the most interesting things that I've found of running Exotica over the last, 15 years is like you know the people, the stars or the performers on the show floor, and then you see them walk in like on Thursday when they get off the plane from LA or Vegas or wherever, and they're just like, baseball hat on, hoodie, like you would never ever spot them. And it's, it always cracks me up.
Yeah.
Oh man. So OnlyFans and trying to get out and do your thing with the world.
Yeah.
It's what do you miss the most about getting out, like of being locked in?
I mean, I was like going out to LA and like shooting and stuff, like before all this happened, and I had some stuff lined up, like big stuff that I was working on that like I had to put a stop to, obviously, because I couldn't travel and stuff. But it's just, I don't know, I just hope that they find a cure or like some kind of like vaccine for this
vaccine or treatment, man. And that's what it's going to take, because it's not, it's funny, a couple of weeks ago I was trying to be my usual optimistic self, and I talked to my dad, who is like a 30-year older version of me, like, but a way more pragmatist. And he's like, well, son, let me tell you something. He's like, we're talking about a virus that went from one person to 3.5 million people in 4 months. It hasn't changed. Okay. There is no treatment. There is no cure. So you tell me what you think is going to happen when they open up a place that's having 1700 cases a day versus like when they closed it down and there was 150, what do you think is going to happen? And it's like, listen, I am fingers crossed in a million different directions about, everything of this, but at the end of the day, like you got to be realistic, man. It's, it's going to change. It's going to change the world.
I mean, I'd rather things be closed for 1 year to then be able to reopen for the next however long, like if that's a sacrifice we got to make, then, it sucks, but
I couldn't agree more. That's the unknowing. Like, I just want, if they said, hey, listen, 2020's fucking shit out of luck. Like, we'll see you January 1st. Everything's open back up. We're going to go. We'd be like, okay, cool. Like, we'll figure this out and we'll go. But as it is now, and we just, trust me, kicking these dates and stuff down the fucking curb, you know? And it's just like, oh my God, man, like, come on, we're ready to go. Every fucking day I see a new Facebook memory pop up of like crowd shots at Exotica Chicago with like 1,000 people, or like we're in Denver doing this, and like, you know, it's painful. It really is really, really wild. So anyways, why don't we do this? Cause I want to, let's get all of us in here, because we'll bring the fourth member of the chair, the table, the whatever.
Table?
It's a person that has worked with us for a number of years. We're doing our 10th anniversary Chicago show this year, and she has been at every single one. She was an attendee, I think, at the first one, and just kind of getting her start. And now, look at her. She is our resident sexpert. She is the 9 foot tall striking Tiana Morgan. Hey.
Hey guys, what's up?
Yo, and I have to say, for most of you that don't know, or those of you that do that follow Tiomi on social media, she went through some health stuff where I think she had her head removed. It, like, they actually cut it all off. They scraped out the entire.
They put it back on.
They scraped out the entire inside. Like they sewed it back on, and She's back in action. So Tiomi, awesome to see you, girlfriend.
It feels good. Like, I've been so freaked out because I was like, you said you wouldn't fuck up my face. And like, all of this was just like disformed and swollen. And so even be like, to have confidence to be back on camera, I was like, all right, a little swollen. But
when I texted you today and I was like, hey, you up for doing something like this? And I was glad to hear that you were, because, you know, that's awesome. So tell us what happened? Like, what's going on with you?
Oh my God. Like, this is some random shit that literally is rare. Okay.
I wouldn't expect anything different from you.
So I've been like having pain on this side of my face for like a year now. It started out like in my sinuses. I was like, maybe it's just sinusitis. Like, I have that really bad. Started irrigating my nose. Then turned out I needed a root canal, got a root canal, and the pain was just still there. And so all of these, I went to like several different dentists, and they eventually were like, you know what? You should go see an ENT doctor. So then I went to this ENT doctor. She's like, oh, well, you're relatively healthy. So I think it's just TMJ disorder. You have like a disorder with the joints and muscles. You're like, your jaw.
Don't mess with my mouth. Don't mess with my mouth.
So much money invested in this mouth, like braces alone. Okay. So she's like, oh, this is a dental thing. You know, this isn't like a sinus thing. So months go by. I went to Sundance Film Festival. I went down to Super Bowl. I was just like traveling, living my best life. All-star weekend. You know, and then the pain just started getting worse to the point where I started feeling numbness, like stuff started to get numb and tingly. Ended up going to an oral surgeon. He did like a panoramic x-ray and found a mass sitting in my right sinus cavity, right? So he's like, get a CAT scan. The ENT doctor is like, oh wow, you have a mass here. Well, you know, it could be a tumor, but I think it's just a mucoceal. Basically, it's like a cyst filled with mucus, like a big booger, right? She's like, 15 minutes.
Could have been the greatest booger that you'd ever pull out.
Right. You're just going to go in there, open it up, irrigate it, and then you'll be sent on your way. You'll be fine. Oh my God, that's not what happened. She goes in to do surgery, apparently, and sees immediately that it's a tumor, a vascular tumor, and that it shattered the entire back wall of my maxillary sinus cavity, so there is bone floating around.
I go to Tiomi for all my medical, all of my medical terminology. This is why.
She goes in there, she tries to get a biopsy, and then apparently before she can even get enough tissue, I started bleeding out, and she tried to go through. So then she went through my nose at first, and I guess she tried to go through my mouth to try to stop the bleeding, and it didn't work. So she put some sutures in. And then they woke me up and they're like, Miss Morgan, wake up, Miss Morgan. You're bleeding out from somewhere. We don't know from where. We need to rush you into this ICU surgery. We need you to sign off. I'm like, what happened to 30 minutes? What?
Yeah, what happened to the greatest booger of my life? Like,
yeah.
Well, I was like, this is not booger. Boogers don't do this. What's going on? So I sign off. they had to go in, and I basically saw them doing everything. I was in Twilight. I had to go in through my groin to go into my arteries and my sinuses to find the bleed and clip it off.
Did you just say through your groin?
Oh. Yes.
Through your groin to get to the arteries in your face.
Oh, my.
Some next level shit I've never seen or even heard of. Like, so they do that. They calls me up. They're like, okay, you made it through. You're great. We found the bleed. Blah, blah, blah. Go into recovery for like 15 minutes before going up to my hospital room. They get me in bed. They, you know, tuck me in and stuff. They lay my bed back a little bit. All of a sudden, blood starts rushing out of my nose. I'm like, what is going on? They're like, oh, we have to rush you back down to surgery. So they had to do it again. And then they finally found it and clipped it off. And they clipped off both sides just in case. And I'm like, okay, how much is this costing me? So I had to go through not just one surgery, but three surgeries. The two to save my life, apparently. And the tumor is still there. So I still have to go seek a second opinion and figure out what we're doing. I had an MRI on Wednesday. So hopefully I get some good news as far as knowing what this is. Even the biopsy, they say it's not cancerous, but she said she wasn't able to get enough tissue. So I'm like, well, so what are you telling me? Is this inconclusive? Like,
right.
She said, I misdiagnosed you. I'm sorry. Like, I made a huge mistake.
I mean, yeah. Well, hence the time for the second opinion. But also, you know what? I can at least respect somebody that would admit their fault. Like, obviously, glad that, you know, it didn't, you know.
This is beyond her. She's like, I've been practicing since 1990. I've never seen anything like this. I have no idea what it is. We suspect that a feeling that I got that was really close to one of my nerves, it like irritated the nerve and maybe caused an infection, and then it like kind of turned into an infection in the sinuses that just kept growing.
Yeah,
that just went untreated for like a year.
That's crazy. Because before Tyomi went in on this, I was telling her my own stories of I had a like
I
a
thought about you too.
Jay. Yeah, dude, I had a deviated septum fixed. My nose used to be much bigger, much uglier. Jay's no, yeah. Not this. I went in. I was like, I want the Jennifer Aniston nose, and they said, sorry, you have a white guy Lebanese nose, and that's what's sticking to it. But no, and I had like a deviated septum fixed, and like they like literally weed whack out your nose, and like. It was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. It was the worst dealing with it, but like at the end of the day, I could breathe, I could like function and whatever. And so I'm telling Tyomi, I'm like, yo, this is gonna be great. You know, you're gonna go in there, they're gonna fix this shit. And like, then all of a sudden I'm on her Twitter page and I'm like, oh, fuck. Like,
actual fucking opposite, but you know.
Man, that's, well, listen.
I can take a guess which hospital you were at, I'm sure, and probably nail. I won't say it. I don't want us to get sued by them.
Yeah, let's not say anything because I am not letting it go.
Well, from the entire 3 Expo team, we are unbelievably happy that you are still in one piece. We wouldn't ever want to do this without you. And you know,
I love you guys. And that bouquet was so beautiful. It really made my day.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was funny because the thing I love about Tyomi is you ask her something, she will tell you the fucking answer. I'm like, hey, can I do anything for you? She's like, send me flowers. I'm like, what kind of flowers do you like? These. Done. Yeah. They'll be there tomorrow. Yeah. Like, there is no like, oh, no, I'm fine, but I kind of wish that you would send me flowers.
No, I'm not fine. Love me.
By the way, what were your favorite kind of flowers?
Lilies.
Ariana, Ariana, what's your favorite?
My favorite? I don't know if I have like a favorite flower, but if I had to pick, I guess like a rose.
Okay. Britt?
Like roses.
Dude, all of a sudden I realize I'm surrounded by women here. This makes me very uncomfortable.
Aren't you always?
No, I'm not. Usually I have Dan standing next to me, which is so far from a woman that like it's the exact opposite direction. Oh man. So Where do I even start? Like, at least, Tyomi, I don't know whether, are you happy that you were kind of laid up for the last week and a half, or are you sad that you missed it, or like, what?
More than a week and a half, Jay. It was more like...
I'm sorry. My whole... It could be. Yeah. It could be. You know, September. Know for Did I mention that I'm drinking Exotica New Jersey vodka? So you know.
Oh God.
Let's see how this goes.
You know what? It definitely helped out a lot because it's helped me to really, it helped me realize just how much I was neglecting my health. I mean, I'm pretty healthy overall, but there are areas where I was slipping that I didn't even realize. I mean, listen, you guys, dental health is so important.
Dude, dental health is a big tell of overall health too.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't have unhealthy teeth in general, but this shit is just wild what I'm going through. And so I was like, why did I attract this to myself? I was like, what were you trying to teach yourself in this? And I was like, no more hard lessons. We're not going to have any more near-death experiences to learn what you need to learn in life. Like, let's make this shit easy. So I've been just on a very big health kick. Before I was going into surgery, I kicked keto because my body was just like, this is not working anymore. Right. I think it's good for short term, but it's not like a long-term lifestyle type thing. So if you have like goals, keto is good, but not like for your regular eating, you know what I mean? And so I like bought a juicer before surgery and everything. And I've been on medication like crazy. Which and it's sucks. Been making me constipated. Oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, Tyomi loves to talk about poop too. Another reason that I love her.
I sure do.
Yes. One of the best episodes that we've had on Exotica TV, honestly, wasn't probably the highest ranked, rated, whatever, but I found truly one of the most interesting ones was the anal seminar. And because to listen to two women, and who, I'm sorry, I forget, who was
Marla?
Marla
Stewart, yeah.
Yeah, so Marla Stewart was so informational, but it was so interesting to be like the guy fly on the wall with two women having an anal discussion. Like, I was just like, okay.
I recently
had a surgery done back in May. It's called a sphincterectomy. Okay. Yeah.
Do tell.
Okay, yes. So this goes back to I feel you with the constipation thing.
Yes.
Because I had this surgery done because obviously, you know, doing films and stuff, I do anal occasionally, and it would just kind of like always like hurt, like my butt was just like really tight, and it didn't matter how much I would stretch and everything. I mean, I would still be able to do the scenes, but just like it would be kind of painful.
Giant porn dick, I would kind of expect to. Do you get adjusted to that? Is that something that like?
Well, they give you dilators and everything, but.
Okay. But she's saying she's just had like a really tight sphincter, so she had to loosen it.
So I went to the doctor and like the last scene that I did that was anal was back in September of last year. And I like my butt got really like hurt. Yeah. So I went to a doctor here in Florida and I said, you know, like, can you just like tell me, like, do I have like, cause they call them anal fissures, like where you get like a little tear in your butt and it's kind of like a paper cut on your, like your lip and it just takes forever to heal. So I just was wondering if maybe that's what I had going on. And he puts his finger in there and he's like, that's really tight. So my inner muscle, not my outer muscle, but the inner muscle is like abnormally tight. And he said that's why I was having issues. So what he did was he went in and he cut my muscle.
Cut it.
He cut it. And yeah, so I was laid up for like about a week or so. The pain medicine, I couldn't go to the bathroom for like a week. I was starting to get like,
well, because they're giving you painkillers too, right? So like that's binds
you up.
Or at least I heard they do.
I had only taken them for like 2 days. So I was like, and then I stopped taking them and I was like, I'm on day 5 and I haven't been able to go to the bathroom.
It's so scary when you haven't passed poop for 5 days. That shit's scary.
It's not healthy. It's not healthy either. Yeah. But then I finally did and oh my God, I'll never forget.
Was it like the Dumb and Dumber scene?
It felt like glass coming out my ass.
And then
I had stitches. So
the first one is why, yay.
So did it get progressively better or okay? Like,
oh yeah, like now I'm fine.
And
like,
so have you done a scene since then?
No. So like I probably won't be able to do an actual, because it's even though my stitches are gone and everything, it's like I tried putting a finger in like a few days ago and I was like, nope, we're not ready yet.
Okay. Now my next question, because like I said, I have a lot. My next question is, who did you film with in September?
I was actually overseas. Okay. In Greece.
Okay.
And I was on set for Vixen, and it was a big scene. They flew me over there and everything, and that was like the it was a DP. So I was like, they're like, yeah, you like flew me out there, all these pretty photos and everything, and then I just like I only did maybe like a few minutes of it, and then obviously they didn't use much of it at all because I was in pain and I had to stop. So yeah, I kind of screwed.
Did the male performer, could he tell? Like, can somebody be like, oh wow, you have an abnormally tight rectum?
Well, he was like, it's really tight, and they were very sweet. Like, right. The guys were very sweet, and they're like, look, you know, if you can't do it, you can't do it. Right. And I started crying because I'm just one of those people.
You're amped to do it, right?
Yeah, and like, you know, they flew me over there, and I was like, oh, you know, like I want this scene to be really good, but like I just physically couldn't do it. And in my mind, I was like, no, I can just block out the pain; it's fine. But then shows on camera, so I was like. Yes. What do I do?
That is amazing. So when you go into the doctor, are you like, listen, here's what I do. Here's how this works. Like,
I told him, like, at first I went to an urgent care doctor.
They're like, we cannot handle this. we're moving you right
out of our scope.
Yeah.
But this guy, he was actually very interesting. Like, you know, I went in there, I told him what I did. And then like, he, it's funny. Once you tell people like what you do, especially when you're in porn and you tell like, just, you know, a doctor or whatever, it's just like, they come out with all their stories. They're like, oh, really? They're like, oh, I'm a swinger. Me and my wife are swingers. And all this shit. And then they
said every doctor in South Florida, every fucking doctor in South
Florida
is a swinger. It's
He's like, I have a doctor, a really cool doctor that will like understand your situation, and you know, and he'll talk to you. And he was cool. He was really nice and everything. He's like, yeah, let me know in a month or so, like how it worked out for you.
Just send him a subscription to your OnlyFans page.
Had he done that procedure before? Like, he obviously they knew what, how to fix it and, you know, make it better for you.
And if it happens to a normal person, is it just that they have a hard time pooping? Like, not everybody's trying to put in. Most people are trying to go out, you know?
Yeah. I don't think it's like a like common surgery that they do like all the time, but I know he did say that, you know, it does happen. People, like when they're using the bathroom, it'll start bleeding, and just because it's like so tight. But like, I never had that. Like, it was obviously only when I'm like doing things to my butt.
So are you excited to get it like back out there and field tested?
Honestly, I am, because I'm just like, it's like, I think I had a new butthole.
I love this butt conversation.
Dude, listen, Taomi, I didn't know it was going to go this direction, but I could never have picked a better.
I just had to relate. I
really appreciated that. That was the best story ever, because it kind of puts into perspective for me, for some people who are like, I just can't do anal. That inner sphincter issue is a real thing. And like, you just gave me something to like research and really look into, because some people have.
Send her the link to the doctor.
My only question to him was like, I said, look, is my, like, you're going to go in there and cut my muscle. Am I going to like not have like a tight asshole?
Right.
Some rectal tone.
Like some prolapsed rectum or something crazy.
Like, he said that the inner muscle, you actually don't have control over.
It's involuntary.
It's only the outer muscle that, you know, you can flex and stuff. So I said, okay. Well, as long as I don't have a fucking loose asshole.
Like an elephant trunk hanging out or something crazy. Dude, literally, Taomi, this is right up your fucking alley.
I didn't even get to the good part of why I was bringing up the constipation, because
let's keep this. I just want to mention one thing. Dan and I always host Vivid Radio on Sunday at the show. And the one rule that they have, you can't talk about poop. So fuck that shit. Here we go.
You guys are always talking about poop.
We're doubling down. Here we go. keep going, Taomi. I'm ready.
So I was so backed up, and I was feeling it. Like, it was pissing me off. And
getting angry at it.
Because I've dealt with chronic constipation since I was a child, and like no one could ever explain it. It was an issue that really wasn't rectified, and I ate so much sugar growing up that that is a part of the problem. And so I decided to look into a hydrotherapist here in Chicago for colonics, because I had my first one in New York last year because I had an issue with my rectum. I this wild, crazy night that ended up with me in the hospital that I don't eat. Listen, look, okay, back to this. So I found this wonderful woman. She's 70 years old and she knows her shit. Like, she's old school nutritionist. Like, it's not just her filling up my colon with water. She's literally educating me about what she's doing step by step, why she's doing it. My colon is as tall as me. So I'm 5'10 and a quarter. So I have 5'10" of colon filled with shit. Yep. And not just shit, prehistoric shit. Yo, I had my second session today. This woman said, she said, I know, this is her words, not mine. Her words. She said, dude, you passed some prehistoric bricks, yo. Like, look. So we got.
Was it the dude and the yo, or was it all like.
Yes.
Tammy, look at you. You were looking, you're like. Ready to roll, girl.
We got all the way up here. The liver and gallbladder and all that is right here. And that's like the descending colon. And so she said, from up in this area, you passed 4 prehistoric blocks of shit that were like this big. 4. Huge. She said, they've probably been there for the last 4 years. And it made sense. It clicked for me because I've been having pain over here by my liver. I've had my liver scanned and everything. And they're like, oh, it's healthy. And it was because I had these fucking bricks in my colon, yo.
Oh, my God.
I was like, oh, my God.
And you're just carrying that shit around with you.
Carrying that shit around. So it doesn't matter how many, like, cleanses you do, how many detox teas you do, there is nothing that would have removed those blocks unless I got hydrotherapy done. So they basically like do a gentle stream of water through your colon and then they push it in until you feel full and then they release it. And then it basically is like a workout for your colon. Because when I first started, she said my colon was sluggish. So my colon really wasn't pumping things out.
Flushing it.
Mm-hmm. Right. But when you push the water in and you pull it out, it just kind of like mm-hmm. contracts it. So it makes it stronger. So the second session, we were able to go deeper because I had built up some colon strength. And like I had some crazy releases today. Like, and what's crazy is you look on the wall and the machine is there with the
poop?
Water flowing out. Yes. A lot. And bile. And gas.
Oh no.
Like,
so hey, Ariana, did you think that this was going to be the conversation that we were having when you walked into this thing?
No, I didn't. But you know what?
Okay, good.
Here we are.
All right, yeah.
Guys, I'm telling you, you got to get a colonic. That will change your life, yo.
I'm a middle-aged white guy. I think I'm nearing like the whole like colonoscopy like time to mm-hmm. what I don't even know how old you're supposed to be. I don't think I'm old enough yet.
I think it's 45 and okay. older.
Got a couple years.
Yeah, because I think my husband, he got one and he's 40. He'll be 46.
What was his take? We're just going to dedicate this whole show to butt talk, by the way. We're just, here we go. Yeah. So how was your husband's colonoscopy, Ariana?
I'm sure he's going to love that we're talking about
it. By the way, the beauty of this is former adult performer, Jack Spade.
Jack Spade.
Yeah. So let's talk about his colon. So how did he come back? Like, what the fuck was that?
I guess everything was fine, okay. But yeah, like he's funny though. Like he got Instagram and stuff, and like he's like figuring out how to use Instagram. And he took a picture of like the jelly stuff that they use, like going in there. And he's like, "Well, it's about that time."
Oh my God, it's amazing.
Colonoscopies are like astro gel.
Colonoscopies are what?
They're interesting. Like I had one at 19. Like I said, I've been having this. I got diagnosed with hemorrhoids when I was 17. Too many fucking flaming hots, yo. Too many flaming
you know,
hots.
I've heard you blame those damn flaming hots before.
Yo, I'm telling you, my ass used to be on fire. On fire.
Okay.
But, you know, also eating red dye 40 is not the best for your colon. Just saying. But it's like they just put a scope up there and they look in with the camera and they're doing it while you're in twilight. So you're awake, but they're feeding it into a good portion of like.
I'm just like picturing like the thing they use to snake your drain. You know, where they just like unwind like it and it's just like winding in.
It has
and, like,
a little claw thingy.
Oh my God.
It's a camera on the end. So it's kind of like that, snaking it through. It's so crazy. Like they can literally just go through your asshole and enter your intestines. That shit's wild.
Dude, says the girl who had something go in her fucking like thigh groin. And go into her face. Yeah. Like that shit.
That part.
That blows my mind.
And I
mean,
I saw it.
How?
No,
mind blown. I'm sitting here. I'm
how the fuck don't we have a coronavirus cure already? Jesus Christ. They can go into your fucking toe and pop out the top of your head while you're watching it. But for some reason, like, Jesus Christ.
It's because
man.
They made that shit and they have no idea how to maybe. Fix it. They made that shit.
Are, like, are you a made in the Chinese lab or something type yes. of that's
Wuhan. Made in Wuhan.
Dude, the funniest thing was
have you guys watched aside?
No, go ahead, Brent.
No, go ahead.
I was going to tell my Wuhan story. So my wife is Chinese and she was traveling in like February over to California and she was out there for like a week or whatever. And it was when coronavirus was like starting to, you know, make news and whatever. And I tried to convince my parents to go to the airport to pick her up with a sign that said, "Welcome back from Wuhan." Like, and this was, let me mention, this was far before all of this shit like hit the fan. Like, I just thought it was kind of funny. And like, you know, we're talking like, again, January, early, like before we knew that it could be our demise. But, there are very few times that my parents look at me and say, "That's a bad idea." Like, they didn't say that when I started Exotica. They didn't say that when I ordered a 6-foot mechanical penis or when I, you know, like they got no problems with that stuff. But with that one, they were like, might be a little too far. And I'm glad that they did.
Yeah.
So there you go, damn. Brett. Did my story beat your story?
No, not at, I mean, I just watched, I feel like I'm totally late to the game, but like I just watched that movie Contagion. It came out in 2011. Bro. And when I tell you this movie is spot on, it's literally
spot
like they took
on.
Spot on. Like the spot language,
one.
The terminology.
Dude,
don't get
so,
me fat.
Yo, like social distancing.
Like pre-predicted. This is a movie. We're living in a movie. I just want to know when I can, you know, cut. And I can leave the
your
set, please.
It's my wheel. I did not agree to be a part of this movie. Like, where's my contract? Where's my money?
I did not.
I watched that in like the second week of quarantine, and it was crazy because it was all like, dude. By now we're sick of hearing social distancing. Like I've heard that word like 1,000 times, but then it was like, you know, kind of new. And then all of a sudden you pop this movie on, you're like, bro. And then the end of the movie, I don't want to give it away, but like it. Is where the coronavirus came from. Like literally, like the whole thing comes down to a fucking bat in China.
It's
and like,
laughable. It's laughable. It's laughable how they do that. It's like, this is not a naturally occurring thing. Coronaviruses have existed since, and our immune system has built immunity against them. It's the common cold. And we know there's like hundreds of common colds. So it's like this novel case, you guys created that shit in a lab. I don't care what they say. And it was biological warfare, and it reared its ugly head, and it turned in a way they didn't expect it. And the shit hasn't, this is crazy. You have companies that are dismantling, that have been around for decades, companies that are out of here. Dubai is suffering even as
Dubai's,
a whole city.
Dubai's down like 85% or something like that. It will literally
done.
The desert will eat that place again in 100 years. Like
done.
Yep.
Done.
Yeah.
Because the expats are moving out. They're like, we can't afford to live here. We got to go back home. And their entire city is basically expats, like 90% foreigners. So, you know, this thing has affected the world in ways that I don't even think those who created it even knew that it would.
See,
and they have no idea now how to contain it. And I'm like, haha, joke on everyone, not just you.
I will say the most interesting thing with this is, you know, listen, we've been doing Exotic for 15 years. every few years you have a crazy hurdle, right? You have like the fucking mayor of Dallas, or you have, you know, the city of when we tried to do the show in Jersey, just always people trying to crush on you or whatever. And it sends us into like a crazy tailspin. And, but the only difference is that we are the eye of the storm, right? Like when a mayor comes crashing down on Exotica, it doesn't affect day-to-day people. Like it's just, that's our little world, you know, and we're like right in the middle of it. With this, it's just like, I'm with you, bro. You know, like you and I and everybody else in the world, like, you know, you get, you're fortunate.
No,
like
one's untouched.
We're fortunate. Our business, like we have amazing sponsors, exhibitors, those guys, like everybody's like, you know what? We've paid for some of these shows. Like we're rolling it forward. We're there when you guys open back up. Like as long as, you know, it's safe and we're good. We're good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like you know, all those guys have been amazing. Fans have been great. You know, but at the end of the day, you know, it's just, it's a crazy, crazy fucking world, man. You know, and
it is, man. Like there is no, like the new normal is us being distant and not mm-hmm. hugging and not being packed
sucks.
In.
Sucks.
And
so
even,
bad.
The yeah. music industry is heavily impacted. They perform. They depend on live performance.
Live events, people. Period. Live events.
Yeah. Venues. You can't period. Do that anymore. You can't have a Glastonbury anymore. What?
I read an article a couple days ago that said basically every privately owned live music festival or live music venue in this country will be closed in the next 2 months.
Yep. Wow. They have to be because what can they do?
Yeah. And then what
they
do
have
you do?
No idea. Because look. Even if they try to do live events, they have to social distance, which means
which
less seat and higher
capacity.
Ticket prices. Who's doing
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
Ain't doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not paying $500 for no nosebleed. You got me messed up.
Yeah, dude. Drive-ins. Drive-ins are the way to go. Like,
yeah.
Drive-ins.
I'm going.
Back old school.
During my week off next week, I'm going back to Vermont, back to my folks' house up there, and we're gonna kind of kick it on the top of a mountain somewhere. And one of the big venues in Burlington, which is a small town by most people's standards, but you know, the biggest kind of town in Vermont, has a music venue called Higher Ground. Awesome, been around forever. And the second that quarantine hit, they identified what was up, and they rented the Champlain County Fairground, like this entire fairground, like outside of town, and they built a drive-in. And so on Tuesday, they're testing it out, their very first show, which of course is a fish show, which is like a drive-in music concert type of thing for like, so I think I'm going to have to go over and check it out. But that doesn't fare well with us, you know, like, I mean, okay. You know, that'll be the fun thing. Not fun at all. That'll be the interesting thing. Like when we do open back up, you know, what rules are in effect? But B, like, I mean, you don't really get your picture taken with a star from 6 feet away, you know? I mean,
can't have a backstage experience.
What
like,
I will say
I
is,
I had my last one with Wiz Khalifa, and I'm just like, wow, I didn't know that was be the last. It's so sad.
We have always, myself and our team that does all this stuff, has always been amazing at making things work. That's our job. Like, there are times where, you know, you don't question how it's broken, you just figure out how you can fix it. And so, you know, don't worry, we'll come up with some stuff. And like, whether it's fucking
face masks and gloves, baby.
Oh, those are already done. Yeah. Those are already in production. We're good. Those are, you know, but like, you know, whether it be like putting stars on the pedestals and like having, you know, guys be able to come down in front of them or shooting at certain directions so you can get people, like, you know, there's a lot of things that you can do. And, you know, we're kind of like looking forward to, honestly, I'm just looking forward to when we can do it. Like, I just want somebody to say, you know what? September 1st, you're good. Like, here we go. So, fingers crossed.
I'm just
crossed,
happy that Exotica's on top of it, because all these other companies feel like they're just sitting on their hands. And they have no creativity. They have no imagination on how to make social distancing work and still give their patrons the experience they desire. Like all these anime conventions shutting up. And I mean, it's just crazy. All of the conventions. McCormick Place is sitting here in Chicago, big as hell and empty.
Yep.
And every single last event for the summer has been canceled. I'm pissed off, Brittany.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, they're both in Chicago. So
even like September, October events, they're starting to cancel them.
Yep. Look, I can't live this life.
So
human companionship. I need to like interact as a human in physical form. Not through like, no offense, you know, I love Jay, I love Exotica TV, I love what we're doing, but like I am over the whole like Zoom looking at people through a tiny little screen.
Chicago summer is all we have, and they took it from us. I gotta stop myself from crying, literally, because
And Ariane, you're in Florida, so when you do go out, are people just business as usual, or are they like, what's it look like out there?
Florida people, I swear, they just don't care, okay? They really don't. They don't care. They, like, I was out somewhere yesterday, and it was like, it didn't even, like, there was, like, no social distancing. There was nothing, like, they're just like, hey, you know, and it's like, okay, but... But wherever we're at, they do enforce the social distancing and all that. But I mean, I was saying earlier, my friends were out at a club last night, like getting lit. I was like, well, damn, like you're getting the corona too.
That's so crazy, man.
Did everybody get tested for COVID here?
I had the antibody test.
No, I haven't.
And then they told me it could be a false positive and it could be a false negative, and you know.
I had to get tested. I'm COVID free. I've been behaved. Okay.
Good for you. Was the test as horrible as everybody says it is?
No. It was literally.
What do they do?
They stick a Q-tip up your nose, like right up in here, just swab around, and that's it. It's really quick.
Really.
This, of course, is coming from a girl who had her head removed 2 weeks ago. So, like, bruh, you know.
I can't even talk about all the things they stuck up my nose and pulled out of my nose. Like, I'm over this shit. I don't know how girls or anybody gets rhinoplasty done voluntarily. Mm-mm.
I can't believe you were awake.
We've gone from poop to nose to, like, let's see what other... anybody got any earwax here? We could, you know. So... what I will say, though, is, you know, one of the things that I love most about Exotica and even like this online like TV stuff that we're doing is it gives everything, you know, it gives all of us an opportunity to kind of talk about stuff. Right. And like, it, you know, you would never know about this kind of thing. Like, I learned more about poop in the last 35 minutes than, you know, I think I ever have. But, you know, and in today's kind of like world, and obviously the last couple of weeks that we've been dealing with, another thing that I want to talk about a little bit, I want to talk about it because I think a lot of people are afraid to talk about it and ask questions about it and, you know, whatever, is the whole Black Lives Matter movement on, you know, and I don't know if you guys read the Rolling Stone article that came out a couple of days ago, about adult and Black Lives Matter. And I know, I want to talk about it mainly because Tyomi has been such an awesome kind of leader through a lot of this stuff. We've done Black Porn Matters roundtable discussions at Exoticas. Yes. We have a great representation within the event in general, and obviously Tyomi bringing in, you know, the seminar coordinator, seminar presenters that we have. It's a crazy time to be an adult. Now, honestly, as an outsider looking in, like, because, you know, I always like to say, like, we kind of dip our toe in this 4 weeks a year and then we kind of, like, you know, dip back out. Mm-hmm. I think it's a long time coming, right? I mean, it's just,
yes,
it's,
it is.
It really is.
Let me tell you something. The very first time I ever went to AVN, it was 2015. And I ended up in a room at the Hard Rock with a bunch of Black performers. And so it was the end of the day and everybody was just sitting around smoking J's. And we had like a little chain of blunts going around and drinking water and shit and just talking.
Sounds like AVN.
Yep. And just to hear everything that they were talking about, the disparities, because at the time I was writing for Ebony Magazine and Ebony.com. And I just wanted to get some perspective as well, just like asking the girls how they felt about everything. And they just start talking about the disparities of how they're treated on set, the disparities in how much they're paid, the titlings of their content, fans coming up and feeling entitled to them signing 100 autographs, not wanting to pay them, but then going to sell that content online to make money off of their image without giving them any kind of kickback. So I was I was not surprised to hear what they were saying because I had already seen things, but to hear it firsthand from some of the biggest stars, right. It just really like hurt my heart and it pissed me off as well because I'm like, you want to make money off of our bodies, which you have done historically.
400 okay? years.
And
yeah.
You're still doing it, even in porn. And I think, and I'm going to say this, that the statement that the CEO of AVN put out was fucking bullshit. Okay. I'm going to call them out on their shit. The fact that that video that was posted up even got out is bullshit.
The fact that it was even written.
I applaud them for firing those people. What the fuck? Yeah. Who approved that being put up? And then you have to come back and recant. You did that shit on purpose and you stood by that. And now you're going to backtrack to say, face, fuck you. Yeah. I'm going to say that with my whole chest. Yeah. Because I don't appreciate how we black people are high sellers. People like our content, but then you want to disrespect us in titling.
Yeah.
You want to disrespect us in pay. Misty Stone and Anna Fox were on Fleshlight's Instagram doing a live, and I recorded some of it. And I'm going to put it up. And I was appalled to hear that they go on set and have to share one water bottle between a few black actors. What the fuck?
Or the banana what? Story. Yeah.
Yeah.
The,
listen. Yeah.
It just, you know, it is, and. Again, the reason I want
to
talk about this because we should talk about it, you know, and yes. it's really interesting because we used to own and operate the LGBT Expo up in New York, and luckily we don't run it anymore because there's no need for it. It literally, like, you know, inclusive the LGBT now. Community has been able to come into the world,
right.
But it really is. It's interesting because listen. I'm a middle-aged white guy, you know, like but I also recognize that I'm a middle-aged white guy. And I also am interested in hearing these different points and different points of view, just because, and I don't want to, I like being able to ask the questions, you know what I mean? Like
right.
it was always really, when trans performers came kind of into the world, you know, we've had trans employees and like, I respect the fact that you can ask the question. You know, that's the biggest thing about this is like, but I will say, I implore both sides to listen to the question. You know, and like
exactly.
it's too often that I think that people, you know, listen. There are so many people fucking dug in the world and how this works and whatever. You know, education is key, man. You know, like we have a fucking we have an idiot mm-hmm. leading. A bunch of idiots, and we have you know, don't get me started, but like
Jesus.
But like literally, you know, the United States has gone from fourth or third in the world in education to 48th. Well, guess what? This is what happens. Like when you don't have an educated conversation going and people aren't, you know, knowledgeable of this stuff and also feel sheltered to like not ask that question, then
right.
don't be fucking surprised that we end up, you know, with, you know, the dude from Home Alone 2 running the fucking ship. You know what I mean? Like it's
exactly.
So, but I do like, you know, it's really interesting. We've tried really hard over the years, to kind of have it. The very first Exotic I did in 2006, I was 26. I had no idea how this shit worked. I was kind of just faking it until we made it. And like, luckily I had enough people that I faked out. But the thing that I learned at the very first show is that although you know, there is something for everyone. There is all, you know,
yes.
and by not having categories there or not having different, you know, and not just in performers, but, you know, exhibitors and everything.
Yes.
Like a wider variety makes the world a better place, you know.
And it makes our show the biggest show, honestly and truly. And that's what I want people to understand is that inclusion is necessary. Everyone wants to feel seen and heard. That's a meta need. It's a base need. And if you can actually play on that need and you make everyone feel welcome, then you make more money. Yeah. Everybody's happy. Yeah. People are willing.
And you're doing the right thing.
Right. Yes, exactly. Which, it's called humanism.
Yeah.
Come on now.
And I will say what also has been interesting, Ty, I mean, we've been working together like what, 9 years, something like that. And
yeah.
And Adrian, our old sales director who worked with us, he started in like 2007, who was also black. It was very interesting to be able to have his like viewpoint on a lot of this stuff. And he opened my eyes to a lot of it where, you know, it just, it's that catch 22 where it's like black performers aren't being booked as much. And you're wondering why they don't have some of the social media followings when they're doing half the type of exposure level stuff that they're doing and given those opportunities, yep. You know, the other side of it is adult has always been really fucking bad at titling
racist.
Like,
it's just racist.
I mean, Ariana, racist. Have you ever, and it goes across all races, you know, like, I mean, it's like, you know, it's really wild. Ariana, have you ever had a movie come out like that you were a part of that you were like, what the fuck did they just name that thing?
Yeah.
You don't need to blow it up, but like.
Yeah. No, I've had a few where I'm just like, what, really? Like, that's the name they chose? Like,
Yeah.
But yeah, the name thing is just like.
But at the same time, what I found was interesting was in the Rolling Stone article, they mentioned like, I forget what the title was, but it was something six. He was like, which means that there were five before it that did well enough for them to make a six, you know, like, and I wonder how this changes. Tymie, how does this change?
I feel like it changes when you see black people and people of color as human, and also having like legitimate, you know, sexual expression that doesn't like paint us as animals or, you know, using racist titles to sell your videos. You can say black woman gets banged by white cocks. That's cool. Those are all observations. You know what I mean? Black person, white cock. Okay. But when we start saying big ghetto ebony booty, you know, like, come on now. This shit is trash. Like, actually respect us. Actually respect that our sexuality is valid and stop just using us as pawns to meet a fan base that is really just abusive. You know, you are perpetuating abusive pornography. Be ethical in your practices. Be integritous in your practices. And don't just say, oh, we stand in solidarity with black performers, Pornhub, by saying we're offering nothing but ebony porn from... Right. Get the fuck out of here. Yeah. How is that solidarity? Like, yo, I've been quiet because I couldn't speak. And I was like, oh, I can speak now.
Oh, it's coming out now, apparently.
I just think it is bullshit. Good. Like, there needs to be more done. And I stand in solidarity with all performers getting paid exactly what they need to get paid, because this industry is a thriving industry. There's no reason why everybody can't get paid equally, and everybody's thriving. Don't base it off of skin color. Base it off of talent.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say.
Amen, girlfriend.
Yeah.
I mean,
I hope if this, like, this movement transpires, especially in the adult business, is I'd like to see more like owners and directors, not just the actors, right? But like the people that are calling the shots and making the decisions, there needs to be more diversity in that. And there needs to be, because they're the ones making these decisions, and whoever's coming up with these titles, if you have somebody like that leading it, it's gonna then have, you know, hopefully it'll have the trickle down effect, and it'll then, you know, we'll start seeing the changes that we need to start seeing, or we should have been seeing. I mean, it's fucking 2020, and
right,
like,
they shouldn't have been there, like, to have to change.
Right. Yeah. It requires for people to actually own up to their racism, and that's a lot for some people. And we're getting there. And this is another reason why I'm in film school, because I'm gonna be a producer of black content that represents us well and titles us well and pays well. You know, that's another issue too. We don't see enough black owned production companies and film companies. Yeah. And so I'm like, fuck that. I'll be a part of it. I have to change the narrative somehow.
The one thing one of the things, obviously, again, from my middle-aged white guy, you know, perspective is that people have to realize that maybe some of the stuff they've done is wrong and be willing to admit it. Like, listen, in a perfect world, like, again, like, dude, everybody fucks shit up, and people are,
listen, it's not how you work.
No, exactly.
You picked this up from somewhere. We can erase that shit. We can definitely reprogram that, but it takes your willingness to really face it, own up to it, and say, how can I do it differently?
Yeah. All right. Ask the right questions and make the right changes.
And I implore people in your position to be able to have those conversations, you know, and hopefully that, like, you know, I wish the world was a little bit easier when it came to just asking questions about things you don't know, you know, seriously.
Be right all the time. That's the issue. Their attachment to being right. If you can just humble yourself and realize that there is a perspective out there that doesn't match yours and that you both are actually right in some way. But when you know that it's going against human decency, when you know that it's going against universal principles of love, you're not in a loving vibration. Let's change that. Let's help you see it a different way. And some people are actually just really sick in the head to where there's no compassion, no love in their heart. So some people just got to get the fuck out of here. But
well, listen, I appreciate, like, it's such a great conversation to have. But the point, like, the main takeaway I want people to realize is, like, this is a continuing conversation.
Continuing.
Like, this isn't like a, hey, this happened for, you know, a week or 2 weeks, or there was outrage here or whatever. I think that there's been enough of a fire lit to this that I think that, you know, people in decision-making positions, obviously you saw, you know, AVN pulled a bunch of shit and is doing a bunch of shit and like trying to like, but it,
good
it,
for you,
know,
you.
It, you know,
I applaud them. I really do, without being like facetious, I really do applaud them for doing something, but they got to do more now.
All right. Well,
you
listen.
Gotta keep going.
Okay, so we're...
Shout out to Exotica, though.
Thank you. listen, we are, you know, we try and be as inclusive as we humanly possibly can, because like I said, there's, you know, there is something for everyone. There are so many people that come to our shows that don't go for the stars. There's some that go for the seminars. There are some that go for the stage. There's a crazy amount that go for the stars too. Go for it.
She's like,
go for it. Have fun. By the way, this is also why I have switched from drinking pounders of Coors Light to straight vodka. It makes me have to pee so much less. Oh. Oh man. All right. So while Tyami's taking a bathroom break, man, I'm glad that we had that opportunity to talk about it.
I think it's one of those things. It's just I particularly am not the biggest fan of the guy, but Jimmy Fallon put out this like thing. Yes, I know. I fucking feel like, God, that guy is so annoying. But it was really funny in that, like, one of his little parody bits that he did was like him making fun of some mayor, like giving some announcement speech about like, we got to continue to have the conversation, but wouldn't say what the conversation really is was, or like what it was regarding. And it was like, it was so exact. I feel like I've sat and watched many leaders go on screen or on TV or whatever and like give these speeches, but yet they don't talk about,
man,
like what it is.
That.
You know, they're so good about twisting the way things, you know, and not really talking about, you know, equal rights and stuff. It's
fucking vote,
yeah,
man.
It was funny.
November can't come soon enough. Go out and vote and fucking, you know, I don't want to say vote for whoever, vote for the people that are going to affect the change that you think this country needs. And if that doesn't tell you who it is, then, you know, there you go.
I'm voting for Evan Stone.
So
I know. Yeah. Evan.
Fucking Evan Stone. You know, he's one of those people that I've like missed in this corner. I've been so, by the way, I don't think I could see Evan Stone without getting a hug from him. So like, he's a hugger. So, you know, so I have a question. I had something that popped into my head earlier and I want to ask you guys, now that I'm like surrounded by girls, have you ever gotten into a fist fight? You ever punched a bitch?
Well, no, I didn't punch anybody.
You got punched?
My friend was no, I did not get punched. No. My friend, we were at like some like high school party and my friend, like she was like arguing with her boyfriend out front. So I was still in the party. And then I was like some time had gone by and I was like, fuck, I should probably go check on her and make sure everything's okay. Well, it turns out when I walked out, she was getting her ass beat by another girl and her dude was just standing there like, cause he didn't want to like he was trying to get the other girl off, but like, he didn't like want to touch her. And I was like, what are you doing? And so she was a big girl. And I'm little. And so, and my friend is like literally getting her face like rubbed in the gravel. And I'm like, all right, I got to pull her off. So I like get on top and I'm like, we just go rolling down this like hill. And then she gets up and we were like in between like a car, and I just remember her coming at me, and I just kicked her, and I hit her into like the truck.
Tyomi, so we've moved on to fist fight stories, by the way.
Oh shit! So I didn't girl like. Fight.
Yep.
So I didn't like hit her, girl but fight. I kicked her. I definitely kicked her in her shit, and she was like, and then the guys broke it up at that point. But I was like, I was ready for her to come at me. I broke all my nails that night.
Well, she was throwing hands.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
What about you, Tyomi?
Have you ever been in a fist fight?
First of all, my sister and I used to fight like cats and dogs, on each other and everything.
That doesn't. Do you still have scars from your sister?
That doesn't count.
Yes. Yeah, I got one on my leg.
I asked that because my wife still has scars from fighting her brother when she was a kid. They used to WWF and kill each other.
If you know, you know.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. Yeah. Like, if you have a sibling where it was like a fiery relationship and you used to like physically get into it, there's at least one scar.
My brother used to take me like up on top of the roof and then like choke slam me down onto the trampoline.
Where were your parents?
I know, right?
For your parents. I'm mortified.
Little did you know that your face would be your business.
I'm a baby too, so I'm like, I like look back and I'm like, you really like terrorized me as a kid.
That's what happens though.
Traumatized, and it's like repressed deeply somewhere that you have no idea. And one day it's gonna come up like, what the fuck? I'm definitely afraid of trampolines.
I was assaulted by a trampoline when I was younger.
But like, outside of
because Tyomi, by the way, you could fuck somebody up.
Excuse me, let me explain.
She's like 9 feet tall. She'd be throwing haymakers down on people. Like they would be like.
I tell you, I'm a military baby. My father is a Marine veteran, Semper Fi, oorah, and he has trained me since childhood on how to defend myself, on how to disarm someone with a gun, on how to load and shoot a gun, and everything.
Come to Philly, we might need you here.
I really try not to get into altercations because I am also a Scorpio woman and my stinger is strong. And when you take me, yes, Brittany, you already know, ma'am. You get me to that point,
like
I'm seeing red, I will kill you. I will literally kill you. I'm not even joking. So I really do not try to get into fist fights. And because my energy too, I can get really big in my energy. And you feel that energy before you feel me physically. So I know how to take
that. And physically you're big. So like.
Yeah. 5'10 1/4" And then when I put on heels, I'm like 6'1", 6'2".
I only know you at like 6'2". So.
Right. Yeah. With the heels on at the show. Like, so I haven't been in many fist fights, and any occasion where I've stood up, people have automatically come to my aid to hold me back.
Yeah.
And when I stand up, I mean literally just standing up, not even with like force or trying to lunge at. It's like they can feel the energy. They're like, oh shit, hold on. So no, I really don't want anyone to ever have to test me because I'm trained.
It would take Jeff Caldwell to take you down. our head of security. I'm pretty sure he'd be willing to.
I'm not laying down. So I'm gonna fight to the end.
Brittany, you had to have been in a fist fight in your life. I guarantee you've been in a fist fight in a strip club before.
God, came really close. Okay. I've never fought females.
Only men.
Only men. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm the type that like, I'm non-confrontational. I usually see, you know, to me, violence is the lowest form of communication. You got to be like really stupid to go like into, oh, I'm just going to wail on your face, in my opinion. But there was this one time, with the exception, I used to be very hot-headed, and then you get me drinking, and it's bad. But this one guy, I had a friend visiting from out of town, and he's gay, and we went to this house party, and next thing I know, outside, there's like this other kid that is just like calling him all sorts of names and getting in his face, and he wasn't like, he was literally like having like three dudes standing around him. I don't remember exactly what happened because things kind of just went like black. But the next thing I remember is I'm on top of the guy, like straddling him, wailing both like fists. Dude, and, like, my friends are pulling
the
me
Christmas
off.
Story. Christmas story. Sassafras.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Ralphie.
It was Ralphie. Like, I don't know what happened, but.
That's that Scorpio that just took over, blacked the fuck out, because we are for justice. And when we see somebody being treated wrongly, it's like, dun, 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 dun.
That is wild. I'm so glad that I asked this question. We went from poop to black performers in porn to beating the shit out of girls. Beating the shit out of girls.
No, see, like Brittany, I had to fight dudes guys. Than okay. girls. I'm so serious. Like growing up, having like a more developed body, being taller. My sister used to get like really like targeted by guys because she had larger boobs. And I'm so protective of my sister. I'm the younger twin.
Yo, how does your dad not just go full-blown, like, military man?
Because he's an old-school Marine who don't take no shit.
Stoic as a motherfucker?
Yeah, it doesn't.
No, my dad's a feminist. My dad is so empowering. He always tells my sister and I how we're the best of the best, the cream of the crop. We are the light of this world. My dad, like, feeds us so much love. But he also don't take no shit. Right. He's a one-round, one-kill motherfucker. Okay, and he will thump your motherfucking guts out. That's his motto. Yeah. Okay, he has a sweatshirt that says that. So I'm literally, like, when I say I have no worries in this world, if I make a call, it is going down. That's why I don't want to get into a fight. It's gonna be World War III out here. Stop playing. So no.
Britt, I think we need to replace Jeff Caldwell with our strip club runs with Tyomi.
Yeah,
no kidding.
Yeah. With my dad, yo. Put my dad on detail.
Ariana, do you do a lot of feature dancing?
Yeah, well, I used to. Well,
so did that shit just stop instantly? Right, like, were you booked for like the year and then all of a sudden it just went away?
No, so I don't ever like book out like that in advance.
She likes
just
to keep her options open.
Yeah, the stuff that I did have, or I think maybe I did. I don't know. Maybe this was before quarantine. I don't know. But I did have a few things. But that's all shut down as of now. But I did see some girls. I did see that some girls are starting up their tour again. But I wouldn't go.
I'll believe that. You know, and therein lies the question too. With like, you know. For anybody that kind of wants the inside scoop on, you know, Exotica and dates and, you know, all that stuff. At the end of the day, I got two kids and a wife. Like, I got to feel comfortable to go. Like, I'm probably the guy that's going to have the most contact with the most people, you know, like, and so it's funny because it really, like, for one of the first times, I'm kind of making a decision on Exotica a lot based on myself, you know, because it's like, if I don't want to go there, like, you know, I don't want to try and get other people to go there. I don't feel comfortable doing it. And like, I would rather wait till it's right and get it right than like try and like, you know, make something happen that shouldn't happen. That being said, hope the fucking God it happens. It's it's been crazy. So
we need it. We need some fun.
We all need it. Seriously. It's crazy.
I hope you're out here looking like Sub-Zero Cortana from Mortal Kombat.
Get over here.
Every day.
This is not the kind of like, you know, cool, like, you know, steampunk fucking quarantine that I was expecting. Like I wanted to have Ted on the front of my car, like playing guitar and like shooting people with a flamethrower. As I drove around and like, you know, Dan in the back in a string bikini yelling at people, but it hasn't happened yet.
They're all falling out though. We don't need no more restrictions.
Seriously. There goes another account. What can we say?
Instagram just flagged the picture. I'm fully clothed, but I have on a top like this and a sliver of areola is showing and they said that they took it down for nudity. I'm like, why y'all attacking me now? Please don't do this.
By the way, Ariana, you have an Instagram page. Are you verified?
I am not. I'm actually in the process of trying to get verified. I'm trademarked and everything.
That's like the hardest thing to do.
It really is. I don't, and it's crazy because like I have proof that I am who I am and whatever. And it's still not good enough.
To have AVN like do an interview on you and put a big press release out and then get some other press about you. because what
she's got Wikipedia, something like it's all there.
You
like
need
I mean,
Wikipedia page. Like
I guarantee. Do you have a Wikipedia page? I bet you do.
Yeah, I do. I have it, and it's all updated with all my correct info and everything. So it's like. I know, like, I recently just tried to get it, and then they declined it, so I'm going to try. Like, you have to wait, I think, like, 30 days
it's crazy to, like, because resubmit. We, you know, our Instagram page got clipped at, like, 700,000 followers or whatever, and we were, we hire people to, like, do the right shit and, like, not, you know, overstep any boundaries. And then there are other performers, man, but they got that check mark next to them. And that check, saves their ass.
I literally saw a girl posting, literally, on her story, her tits were straight out. There was no covering, nothing. It was her titties were out, but she has a little check mark. And I'm just like, are you freaking
kidding? But I get flagged for my little chocolate, piece of my chocolate areola, fuck?
Yeah.
Like bathing suits and everything. Yeah.
Our interview last night with Spotlight was Tyler Faith. She had, you know, definitely had some serious cleavage going on, but literally it was Dan and I having a conversation with this woman, and YouTube
they
clipped it
titties.
Like 3 minutes in, and then all of a sudden, like,
titties.
Ted texts me, he's like, hey, it went, you know, the YouTube link went down. And so I popped onto Periscope, and it's like, whoop, add your email address. And I'm like, wait a second. Nope,
they
sorry, you've been weird. Down. So it's crazy, man. And like I said in the beginning of this, we're going to take a week. We are going to regroup. We're going to kind of recharge, so to speak. I'm lucky enough to be able to go up into the Green Mountains of Vermont. And exactly. And hopefully either come back like revitalized with what we're doing now, or maybe with another genius idea. I don't know. We'll figure it out as we go. But you know, our biggest thing, like, we've all of our full-time employees, we've kept on since this whole thing started. We've, you know, continued forward in every way. Haven't made a dollar doing Exotica TV. Total labor of love. And you know, honestly, like, the last couple of weeks of social media, just I need a break. I think we all need a break.
Get there, because this shit is crazy. And like right now with social distancing, please remember this, guys, a lot of these platforms are being run by bots.
Yeah, well, that's so no dude is looking, you know, at you and being like, nope, that's not allowed. It's just straight up like, you know, some algorithm.
It's like
it's
an algorithm. Yeah.
I hate that shit with a passion. You fucking bots,
dude. You fucking welcome to Twitter. Welcome to Twitter, man. Welcome to Twitter.
You know, I know. I've been on for 10 years on Twitter. I'm an OG on Twitter.
Yeah, no, we have gained almost 200,000 followers since quarantine started with Twitter.
That's awesome.
That being said, Twitter's kind of a dumpster fire. So, like, you know, I mean,
you think? It's, Black Twitter in itself. I'm like, ooh, I'm here for the rage.
Oh boy, yeah, and that's the other thing, by the way. And I mentioned it before when we were talking. Like, direct your rage.
You are
right to be mad. There's a bunch of shit in this world to be mad at, but choose the right people to go after. You know, and affect the change, and look at the people that are helping affect change, and look at the people that are suppressing the change. Yes. And choose accordingly. You know, that I can't say that enough. Like, realize who's on your side and realize who's against you, and fucking burn who's against you down, but don't burn down your own house.
I know that's
like
right.
My man Killer Mike said, don't burn down your own house.
Don't burn down your own house. I love that. Redirect that rage. Yep. Like, 'cause everyone's in rage, but so I'm like, hey, we're gonna do our part. I'm here for the next part of this. Where do we go from here? Like, let's go.
For sure. Well, listen, I want to thank all of you guys for coming on. Honestly, I don't even miss Dan anymore. It's like he wasn't even here.
Stop.
You know? It's...
Dan, if you're watching this, we still love you.
Dan's probably hanging out with Adrian somewhere. No, nobody's ever going to be able to find him again.
But
seriously, you know, thank you guys. This was a great conversation. I really, all the poop talk really, you know.
I was like, no, you were right here with me. Yeah.
I love that. I'd look at Ariana and she's like, ooh, poop talk. And then I'd look down at Tyomi and Tyomi's like, oh, poop talk.
That made my day. Thank you, Ariana. Yeah, I was like, oh, she with me.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're on the same page.
Yeah, no, that was, and fully not planned. There's like, you know, because Dan isn't doing this show, I don't have a rundown. I don't have any thoughts planned out. I just kind of came in and let fly. And, you know, I've figured out the rectum. So, Ariana, let people know where they can find more about you and where you're crushing it on your OnlyFans page.
You guys can find me on Twitter at Miss Ariana Marie. Instagram is the exact same. OnlyFans, it's onlyfans.com/ Ariana Marie.
Pretty much find her everywhere.
Yeah, and
literally.
And ArianaMarie.com, of course. Yeah.
Search her out. She just such an awesome chick and super beautiful. Oh. We were excited when we first saw you come into the biz, and like now to be able to get to hang out with you and do all this stuff. It's been awesome. So, and welcome to the Whack Pack group. Speaking of Whack Pack, Tyomi, where can people find more about you?
Oh my gosh, glamerotica101.com. Find me on Twitter at glamazontyomi, Instagram at Real Glamazon Tyomi, and you can find me on OnlyFans, onlyfans.com/glamazontyomi. If you Google Tyomi, you literally can find everything. I have high SEO, so just feel free to put Glamazon Tyomi or Tyomi in Google.
Her SEO is right and it's tight. Oh, pizza man.
I know, pizza's here.
By the way, does your doorbell talk to you?
It starts into a scene. It's like,
hi, door.
Does it say like, hey, the UPS guys?
Oh,
here.
No, that would be too much. You know, okay. We are not in Atlanta, but our alarm system definitely does let us know, like, what door is open, does it crash in, like, a certain room or whatever, you know.
Interesting. All right, guys. Well, listen, Brittany, thank you for filling in. You had big shoes to fill. You did a hell of a job. So, two thumbs up.
Thank you.
I'll wear my goatee next time.
Yeah, please do. Please do. So anyways, yeah. And by the way, the other thing that I want, it's funny. I'm going to put up the Exotica promo real quick. You can nix off that at Exotica on the Periscope page because that ain't there. It hopefully will be. We know that it got taken down because it's like, you know, whatever. And we didn't break any rules. So it should be back up soon. Well, maybe once we get back from our week off. But, you know, really, honestly, at the end of the day, we're here for the Exotica Expo. So, exoticaexpo.com, Exotica on Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff. All of these episodes can be seen on exotica.tv. Yes, exotica.tv is a web domain. And, you know, just keep hanging in there, man. We will be there the minute that we can be there, you know, and hang tight, live these Groundhog Days, go out. You know, fucking breathe some fresh air and
I'm gonna go tan and get some fresh air right now. That's why I'm dressed like this.
Oh man.
It's lucky, a perfect day for it.
Lucky neighbors. All right, guys. Well, listen, from Jay.
Thank you.
And my girl Brittany.
Bye.
Ariana.
Thank you, guys.
Tyomi. Bye. We'll catch you guys at the next Exotica. Appreciate it. Adios, amigos.
Adios. Casamigos.